Well, the past couple of weeks, we've been looking at Gospel of John, chapter 4, and we've been looking at what I've been calling life lessons that Jesus teaches as he interacts with, as he talks with the woman at the well. And as we've looked at this, some of the things that we've seen is the first thing that we saw, and one of the first life lessons was that wherever God leads us, we need to go. Irregardless, even if it means it's going to be very uncomfortable wherever you go. And that doesn't, you know, I guess if he, you know, told us to move to northern Pennsylvania, we'd do that, right? Huh?
That was Bradford.
Yeah. But, you know, this is... it's an obedience thing. It's just following what the Lord tells us to do, just being obedient to him. The second part that we learned and we saw out of this was that a lot of people put up smoke screens a lot of times in their lives. And we put up smoke screens for various reasons, but primarily we put them up in order to mask our intentions. And we saw the woman of the well kind of putting up some smoke screens herself. Then last week we saw that Jesus is the one who really offers the only real water. The living water, the water that springs forth to eternal life. Amen? He is the real one. He is the one who gives us the real relief, if you will. Well, this week we're going to start like we've already read, starting there in verse 16. Jesus tells the woman, he says, go and call your husband and then come on back. Go get your hubby and then come on back. We'll continue this. Now, I think there's something that's very important here that we remember. Jesus is God. And Jesus knows everything. He's omniscient, using the big fancy theological word. That and 25, you know, that and about a dollar and a half will probably still get you a cup of coffee, won't it? Maybe. Maybe $2.50. You know, depends on where you buy your coffee. But anyway, that's one of those great big theological words. Omniscient. He means he knows everything. He knows it all. And so when he talks to the woman and he issues the command, he already knows what she's going to say. He also already knows what her situation is. So when he says, go get your woman, he's not going to be shocked. He's not shocked. When he says to the woman, go get your man, he's yeah, whoa, hey, he says, back up. He knew that whatever she said to him wasn't going to shock him because he already knew it. Amen?
Amen?
So there's actually a couple of life lessons I want us to look at out of this one. And it applies more to us believers. That doesn't apply to the unbelievers per se, but it applies to us who follow the Lord Jesus Christ, us who know him as Savior and Lord. We need to obey Jesus when Jesus tells us to do anything. Amen? In other words, I think the lesson that comes out of it actually comes as a question. Do we obey Jesus quickly when he says, do this or do that? Or do we kind of drag our feet and we kind of go into the Moses dialogue? In other words, Lord, can't we negotiate this a little bit? Can't we talk about this a little bit before... I really don't want to have to do this, so let's negotiate. Let me ask you, how many of you all have tried to negotiate with Jesus? Let's be honest. Yeah. How did it go? It was kind of one-sided. But the thing that I noticed, and when I've tried that myself, because I have, I've noticed he's always patient and loving. He didn't smack me down. Like he probably should have. He could have probably got the result a lot quicker had he just gone ahead and hauled off and busted me, right? But he doesn't do that. Instead, he loves us. You know, so here we've got the Samaritan woman. And you know, the thing that I've heard this preached before, and I really believe it's wrong. I don't think we should be going around criticizing her. I mean, she's an easy mark, but I don't think that's what the message is all about. I don't think that's what the gospel's teaching. I don't think that we're supposed to go and criticize her because she doesn't know Jesus as Savior and Lord yet, does she? She doesn't know him. So she's asking questions. Now, she knows he's an interesting guy, but she hasn't quite put her finger on why yet. So she's asking these questions. She's doing what we would call seeking. Amen? And she's wanting to find out who this man is who's taking the time of day to talk to her, a known sinner there in Samaria. He's talking to her. Let me ask you a question. You know anybody like the Samaritan woman? A person who does not know Jesus Christ? And maybe they've been asking you some questions? And you know their lifestyle is really sorry. And you know they go and they hang out in all sorts of places that you did. I mean, nobody would catch you dead there. And you know that they do all sorts of things. But they've been asking you questions. How do you approach them? Like Jesus? Or a little pharisaically? Amen? You know anybody like that? Maybe a name's coming to mind. And if it is, why don't maybe you reach out to them in a different way this week? Amen? Just reach out to them. Back to us. Here we are. We're followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what? We sometimes do the same things that the Samaritan woman does. We really do. We sin. That's really what it is. How many times when Jesus has asked us to do something, when he says, I want you to do this, how many times have we said, no, Lord, wait a minute, hold time out. That's the same thing. I mean, she didn't jump right up and take off and go get this man, did she? She didn't do that. We don't do it either. Oftentimes, we just don't go do what he tells us to. Maybe Jesus told, you know, there's a whole bunch of stuff that can come to mind. Maybe Jesus has asked you to start a life group. You know, maybe he said, I want you to start a group in your home. And you know that deep in your heart, you know that, yeah, he's right. I really should. I'm supposed to do that. But instead, you just argue with him. You said, Lord, you know, I just don't have the time to do this. I really don't know how to do this. I'm not a good socializer, Lord. Wait a minute. Let's talk about this a little bit, Lord, before I don't want to make that type of commitment. See, that's us. That's the way we handle it. Amen? Yeah. Maybe God told you that he wants you to go on a mission trip to some out-of-the-way country. I mean, it's real easy to go on a mission trip here in the United States, right? They look the same. They talk the same. Pretty much the same. Hop in your car and away you go. How about if you have to go to some country where they're not quite so friendly? But the Lord's put it on your heart that he wants you to do this. Again, you know that you heard him speak in your heart. But rather than saying yes, you start making mental excuses, vocal ones even, and sometimes you base it on all sorts of things. I don't have the money right now, Lord. I really can't do this. Lord, I really want to go visit, you know, my kids, or I want to go, you know, travel this summer. Oh, wait a minute, Lord, that's kind of a dangerous place to go. They sometimes shoot people down there. Lord, I don't know the language, so how can I speak to them? John, can I share just a quickie from your last trip to Nicaragua? John didn't know Spanish. And you know what? God used him in Nicaragua to lead, through an interpreter, to lead a person to saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Guys, now, John still got on his heart that Lord's probably going to take him back there one of these days again, and so he's been studying his Spanish. I mean, he's trying to really be ultra-prepared when the Lord says, John, I want you to do this. But, I mean, that's what it's about. Amen? So often we just throw out these excuses instead of getting the blessing. I mean, what would have happened? John would not have had the blessing of being involved in leading somebody to the Lord Jesus in a foreign country, a guy that couldn't speak English at all, had he said, I can't go because I can't talk. I can't talk their lingo. Moses got used the same way when he finally got over his argument with the Lord, didn't he? And God used Moses to lead his people out of Egypt. So life lesson number one for us followers is when Jesus speaks to us and he asks us to do something, we need to just go ahead and do it. Just flat out do it. We need to trust him. We need to exercise our faith. That's really what it boils down to. Amen. When he says, I want you to do this, I need to trust him and I need to exercise my faith. Because you know what? Unless I obey God, I'm not showing any faith. Unless you obey God, you are not showing faith. Obedience just happens to be the first step of faith. That's all there is to it. If you don't obey, you're not showing faith. Amen? I mean, when he spoke to each one of us and called us to give our lives over to him and accept him as our Savior and Lord, you had to make an obedient thing. You had to get out of the boat when he said, come. Amen? Faith is not a mental game. It's not a mind thing. It's an action thing. Put it into practice in your life. When he says, I want you to, do it. He doesn't want you to go, well, I think you want me to do, so I'll do, and therefore that's faith. No, that's backwards. He says, when I call to you and I ask you to do something, do it. Amen? Okay. The other thing, and I think this is kind of a subtle thing for believers, and alluded to it, is the way that Jesus treated the Samaritan woman. She's not a follower yet. Jesus knows that. But I mean, we know a lot of people who aren't followers of Christ too, don't we? Amen? Maybe. Maybe not. But anyway, I think Jesus wants us to deal with people who are seeking him and who are not yet believers. He wants us to deal patiently with them, just like he did her. He doesn't want us to get all legalistic and on our high horses. Amen? He doesn't want us to go around condemning them. He doesn't want us to just get down on them. He wants us to show Jesus and tell about him. Might catch more fish that way. Just maybe. Jesus is the best bait that there is. It's out there, you know? For a lost person, it doesn't get any better. But we need to be showing him, not treating people with condemnation and everything. The next thing that comes out of this passage from life lesson standpoint, and I think we kind of forget it sometimes, there is nothing you have done or you do or you say that's going to surprise our Lord Jesus Christ. I like Melba got a real good way of putting it. You didn't catch God by surprise. We don't catch him by surprise. He knows. In other words, whatever I'm going to say, he already knows I'm going to say it. Amen? He already knows. Here's this woman. Jesus knows her answer. He says, go get your husband and come on back. Amen? And he knew what she was already going to say. He says, do this. And what happens? She says, oh, wait a minute. I don't have a husband. And he says, you're right, lady. But he didn't get condemning, did he? He said, you had five of them. Whoa. And it didn't shock him. I guess back in her day, she must have been something else to have had five husbands. You know? She must have really been something. Now, granted, the guys could divorce the gals over little or nothing. You know, all they had to do was just make their own little case, whatever it happened to be. Maybe she had perfected how to burn water. I don't know. You know, and she got rid of five of them that way. Burn the water. I don't know what had gone on. The Bible doesn't tell us. But she has had five husbands. And now on top of the five husbands, she's got a guy that she's living with. She's sleeping with and all that stuff. She's shacking up with him, you know. And so here this is going on. And guess what? It doesn't surprise Jesus Christ. The man she's talking to doesn't go, oh my gosh, get away from me. You got the cooties. You got the plague. He doesn't do that, does he? He keeps on talking and keeps on dialoguing with him. He didn't put on the holier-than-thou Jewish uniform of the day. He said, whoa, hey, I'm going to talk to you about this now. Amen? Amen. So here's this woman. living in sin. She's not married right now. And any good Jewish man would have cut a chogi, or he would have done this get out of here mucho pronto thing, depending on whatever language you want to use to talk about it. He would have been gone in a flash. He would have beat feet. But folks, we can't hide things from Jesus. You can't hide anything from Jesus Christ. I can't hide anything from Jesus Christ. How many times, though, have we tried to? Amen? Many, many times. And we do that every time we try to ignore our sins. We've got sins in our lives, and we don't want to talk about them. We don't want to even think about them, and we think that if we don't confess them, if we keep quiet about it, we don't go before the Lord, we stay away from the Bible, we stay away from the quiet time, that maybe they'll go away. And they don't, do they? They're still there. And God knows. Guess what? God knows. You can't surprise him. That's one of the amazing things. I mean, he knows everything about you and me. And you know what he did over 2,000 years ago? He went to the cross knowing that you and I were going to do the stuff that we do today. And that he was going to have to pay that penalty for what we were going to do 2,000 and some odd years later. Is that love? And that's an all-knowing God who knows everything. See, the problem is, though, if we don't confess up, and it's one of the things I think we need to do. We've got Lord's Supper. We're going to be celebrating the Lord's Supper this morning. And we need to come before the Lord's Supper table with pure hearts. Amen? I think it's very important. Because if our hearts aren't pure, and we haven't fessed up, if you will, to God, and admitted the stuff that we've got going on in our lives, and allowed and asked for his forgiveness, and received it, and then allowed him to go ahead and cleanse us, how can we come before him and say, oh, I'm going to show Jesus today? Amen? Can't do it. So we need to talk to Jesus. I mean, take the time. Use the rest of the, you know, use the rest of the time, the invitation time, even the message time, to just get your hearts right with the Lord. So as we come before him this morning, our hearts will be right, and they'll be pure. You know, God's a loving God. I tried to be a loving parent Jenny and I were raising our kids, but I'll tell you what, it was always amazing, and the fact that God knows everything that I've done. I knew most everything that my kids did. And what I didn't know, Jenny knew, and between the two of us, we had them covered. Right? Yeah, that's right. But you know what? It was always interesting. They didn't want to talk about them. And you'd see something was going on. They didn't want to talk to you. They were acting kind of strange. There were those attitudes or those mood swings or something. And you'd say, Jeff or Amy, what's going on? Did you do something? And then I get the big eyes and the headlights. Oh, no, Daddy, I didn't do anything. Of course, they had both hands crossed, and, you know, they're sitting there like this. They're crossing everything they could possibly cross. Amen? But I knew. But then once they finally admitted, guess what? It restored that relationship. And we're like that with God. God wants to have a perfect relationship with us. And the only way that comes about is if we stay clean. Our hearts, our minds, our attitudes, stay fessed up. Keep those hidden sins, keep them away. Don't want none. Amen? So it still gets me. I don't understand why it is that we won't just go ahead and talk to God about whatever it is that's going on in our lives. You agree? Why don't we just go ahead and talk to him? Whatever's going on. Because again, he knows. He already knows. I'm not going to surprise him. It's not like, oh God, guess what I did? You probably don't know what I did. Yeah, you do. I already know. I already forgave you for it. That's the awesome part about our Lord God. He's already forgiven us for it. But that verbal speaking to him and saying, Lord, forgive me for. Amen. I come before you and I did this, God, and I know it was wrong or whatever. It cleans us, doesn't it? It refreshes us. I mean, it's not coming to the pastor or coming to a priest and saying, I did this, and you know, hope that they can absolve you or whatever. It's going straight to God himself and saying, God, I sinned against you. I'm sorry. I want my relationship right with you. Amen? Isn't that where we want to be, folks? With a right relationship. Because you know what? It's harder than the dickens to show Jesus Christ when that part of our life is really messed up. It's really hard to show Jesus to somebody else when we're messed up that way ourselves. You know, maybe you cheated on a school test. You need to fess up. Maybe you, you know, lied at work. And he thought, nobody will know about this one. Yeah, somebody will. God knows. Amen? Even if your employer never figures it out, even if your teacher never figures it out, God already knows. We need to be right with him. So why should we keep being miserable? I mean, he says, clean it up. Come to me. I've already forgiven you. Come on. He loves us so much. The last life lesson. This is probably a hard one for most of us to really accept, because I think we have a Pollyanna type attitude when it comes to God. Since he forgave us, well, gee, that's great. I don't have to worry about anything. I'm going to tell you, if you sin and you don't go to him and get it cleaned up, he will take you to account. Amen? He may wait a while and let you stew in it. And your relationship really gets really squirrely with him. And you go, I don't hear you anymore. And he goes, I hear you fine. You got an ear problem. But if you get rid of the sin problem, the ear problem straightens out. Amen? You see, because he does know, he wants us to come and say, Lord, forgive me. And as I do so, he restores me. But I'm going to tell you what happens if you don't. He's going to confront you with it. Amen? And this is one of the reasons why Christians get all sideways in their relationship with him, and they can't understand why their walk's falling apart, because they won't go ahead and confess. God keeps confronting. Every time they pick up the Bible, it says, oh, that's my sin. Or every time they sit down and go, Lord, now I lay me down to sleep. And he says, I need to talk to you about, oh, wait a minute, I need to sleep. Or whatever it happens to be. Amen? God will confront. Deal with it. Just go ahead and lay it out there to him. Admit it. And accept the blessed forgiveness that he has for you. Amen? Because he wants your relationship to be right. You know, these are the things. I mean, these are just four simple lessons, really, that come right out of this passage. Obey him. Treat others, treat unbelievers the same way Jesus treated them. Don't ever forget that God already knows what you've done or what you're going to do. And don't think that you're going to be able to pull the wool over his eyes, because he will confront you over it. He confronted the Samaritan woman, but he did it in a kind and loving way. Amen? And you know what? There's sometimes that we need to go to one another and confront them in kind and loving ways over a sin, either in our families, in our church families, or whatever. Amen? I mean, if there's something going on, sometimes you need to go and confront lovingly, honestly. But you better be fessed up before you go, because otherwise it's going to come across judgmentalish and everything else. We need to do it just like Jesus does with the Samaritan woman, patiently, lovingly, and redemptively. Because really, as we're going to see next week, that's where he's heading with it. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning as we prepare to celebrate the Lord's Supper. Lord God, I thank you so much that we can be here this morning, and thank you for the lessons that you're teaching us out of your Gospel of John. And Lord, your encounter with this lady there at the well out there in Samaria. Help each one of us, Father, this morning as we take some time to come before you and allow you to show us anything in our lives that's unpleasing to you. My prayer is this morning, Father, that as you would reveal anything to us, that we would just confess that, seeking your forgiveness, and then receiving your blessed forgiveness, and allowing you to just cleanse us completely to the righteousness that you say you do. Because, Lord, we really do want a close relationship with you. Lord, if there's any who would not know you or do not know you as Savior and Lord, I would pray today under the urging of your Holy Spirit. I would pray today would be the day that one or several, maybe even listening to us on the internet right now, that they would bow their heads and ask you to forgive them, admitting and acknowledging that you truly are God Almighty, that you, Jesus, are the Son of God, and that you died for them, that you paid the price already, and that they would invite you to come into their lives to be their Savior and their Lord and Master, letting you begin leading their life from this day forward. I just lift that up this morning, Father. For those of us who already know you, Lord, if there's anything in our lives that would hinder our witness for you, that would hinder, most importantly, our relationship, may we get that right this morning before we come to the table. I lift this up to you in Jesus' name. Amen.